All right, well, let's get into the message that I have to share with you today. We're going to continue with the series that we are calling Win in the Season You Are In. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven." Solomon then goes on to list many of these seasons, such as a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, many other seasons he lists there. The point is that life is all about seasons. And so because this is true, how we handle the changing seasons will have a direct impact on our entire lives. I believe that God wants us to thrive in every season. Last week in the intro message, we discussed that no matter what season we are in, even if endurance is required, we should embrace every season. To do that, we saw that we need to understand that there is a purpose in every season. We need to learn to be content in every season and keep a humble posture in every season. If you missed the message, I've received some real nice feedback on it this week, which I appreciate. I think you would be blessed to go back and have a listen online. Over the coming weeks, we're going to look at some very specific seasons of life and give some thoughts about how to win in those seasons particularly. The reality is that we aren't all in the same season. So some of the messages in this series may hit a little closer to home than others perhaps. But remember, seasons change. So you could be in a different season sooner than you think. Also, it's very likely that in certain areas of your life, you could be in different seasons at the same time. For example, you may be thriving in your career, but struggling through a difficult season in your family relationships. No matter what, I believe that every season we discuss is going to be relevant to some area of your life. And so to kick us off today, I'm going to start by talking about how to win in the season of prosperity. My wife asked me this week, "So which season are you preaching about this morning?" I said, or on Sunday, I said, "I'm going to talk about winning in the season of prosperity." So, and she said, "So you're not going to be using any personal illustrations this week." I said, "I've got you. I'm prospering in every way." I should have said it, Boomney. I'm not that good of a husband. I'm going to get there, though. How to win in the season of prosperity. I lost my place. What are we talking about when we talk about prosperity? Well, we could also refer to it as a season of reaping or a season of harvesting. The Bible talks about sowing in tears and reaping with joy. It's the reaping with joy season that I'm talking about this morning. Now, you might be thinking, what's there to talk about? When I'm prospering, I'm already thriving. So why are we talking about how to win in this season? Aren't I already winning? But church, here's the truth. There might be more dangers in this season to deal with than any other. And perhaps more people lose at this time in their lives than in any other season. I read some research the other day that showed that 70% of lottery winners end up broke and a third of them declare bankruptcy. In a season of unprecedented financial prosperity, most of those people lose. It's interesting that in the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus tells the story of a son who requested to have his big inheritance paid to him early, but it wasn't long before it was all gone. And he's jealous of the food the pigs are eating. Someone said, in fact, it was one of my heroes, Reinhard Bonnke, said that the prodigal son had the courage to ask for his inheritance, but he never had the character to keep it. We talk a lot about perseverance and about enduring through hard seasons. And we talk about never giving up. And we exhort one another, be faithful in sowing. But can we handle the reaping with joy season? That might be a bigger victory. How many celebrities, whether it be in sports or in the entertainment industry, handle their success well? The tabloids love to tell the stories of their failures once they've made it to the top. Unfortunately, we have many examples of leaders in the Christian world who didn't handle their season of prosperity well either, and saw it come to an end with bitter consequences. It happens more than I wish. The scriptures also give us many examples of people who failed to win in the season of prosperity. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, there's the story of a king named Uzziah. He became king when he was only 16 years of age. And it says this about him in verse 4. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. In verse 5, we're told that he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. For the next several verses, we're given this incredible description of all the amazing things that Uzziah did and the incredible blessing that was upon him as he sought the Lord, as he looked to him. It culminates in verse 15 saying this about him. In Jerusalem, he made devices invented for use on the towers and on the corner defenses so that soldiers could shoot arrows and hurl large stones from the wall. I mean, this guy was an inventor. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. Uzziah was amazing. He was a God seeker. He had a pure heart. The hand of God was upon him. His fame had spread far and wide. If this had happened today, he'd have been on the cover of Charisma magazine. We'd be talking about him. He was living in a season of prosperity. But at that very moment, something shifted in the heart of Uzziah. And verse 16 says this, the following verse. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That's for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who've been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord your God." Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priest in the presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous, banned from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. It's a heartbreaking story. Uzziah was prospering greatly, but in the season of prosperity, he failed to guard his heart and pride crept in. Eventually, he was so consumed with it that he thought he could take the place of the priests in their service to God. He seems to think that he has now arrived and is somehow above the law, so to speak. He had once listened to Zechariah. He had once walked in the fear of God, but now he would no longer listen to those in his life who challenged him. It's interesting that they challenged him to leave the sanctuary, saying if he didn't, he wouldn't be honored by God. I think at that moment, he still had the opportunity to humble himself, but he refused. He only got angry at those speaking into his life. Last week in the introductory message, we discussed how a heart of humility was a key to winning in every season of life. Uzziah failed to keep a humble heart. And as a result, Uzziah was unable to win in the season of prosperity. How tragic is that? And so the question that I want to answer for us today is, how do we win in the season of prosperity? And I'm going to read to you a passage of scripture from the book of Deuteronomy and give us three thoughts based on this passage. The context is that the children of Israel who have left slavery in Egypt under the leadership of Moses are now on the verge of stepping into their promised land. There is a change of seasons that's about to take place, and they're about to enter a season of prosperity. But Moses realizes at this moment that this season is potentially dangerous to these people. And so he spends a chapter giving warnings and instructions. I'll tell you, there is a lot to chew on in this chapter. I'm going to read the entire chapter to you right now. Moses says to them, "Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and you will multiply. And you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It's a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It's a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It's a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Notice verse 11. "But this is the time to be careful." Exclamation point. "Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful!" Exclamation point. "Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from a rock. He fed you manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, 'I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy.' Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. In order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed the other nations in your path, you will also be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God." Did those words come true? Yes, they did. Why? Because they forgot. My first thought about winning in the season of prosperity is this: don't forget where you came from. All through this passage, the word "remember" and the phrase "do not forget" are said over and over and over. It's amazing how quickly we can forget where we came from once we become prosperous. When we do this, pride easily takes root. And we begin to think that somehow, It was our own strength and our own ability that made us successful. But Moses said in verse 16 and 17, he who fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors, he did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I've achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God, he's the one who gives you power to be successful. I believe that looking back is a key to keep looking up. You know, a few weeks ago, we took up a faith commitment offering and saw $350,000 committed to missions. We crossed the $4 million mark in money given away through our Global Impact Ministry. We have this 65,000 plus square foot building that is paid for. We're about to invest $400,000 upgrading our property without even doing a fundraising campaign. That is incredible. We are living in a season of prosperity, but do you remember where we came from? We talk about it often. 35 years ago, we were $2 million in debt. In those days, our staff were working for salaries that were appalling. When I started teaching school, my yearly salary was $14,000. We had a season where we were homeless as a church. We didn't own our own building. The journey to where we are now, if you've heard the stories, is simply incredible. And there's only one explanation for it. God has helped us, and God has blessed us. We were humbled. We were humbled 35 years ago. Greatly humbled. Our name was a disgrace in this city. We humbled ourselves and we turned to God, and he blessed us and he helped us. And we must never forget where we came from. We must keep telling the stories of the faithfulness of God. It's a natural tendency for our hearts to begin to take credit for our success when things go well. But we must always remember that it is the Lord who gives us the power to be successful. It's always the Lord. And when we are in abundance, we worship and we give him praise. The second thing is, don't forget what made you prosperous. It's amazing how it is easy to coast in a prosperous season and to stop doing the things that led you to where you are now. In times of trial or in building seasons or planting seasons, much discipline is required. Hard work is required. Focus is sharp. Efficiency is at a premium. But once living in the season of prosperity, it's easy to slide into compromise, apathy, and carelessness. Once we have arrived, sometimes we think our work is done. It's not. When King David was at the height of his prosperity, many of you know the story. He stopped doing what got him there. And he got into trouble, 2 Samuel 11. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army, laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, the scripture makes note, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. What happened? Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. And we know the rest of the story. David committed adultery and ultimately murder to cover up his sin. The scriptures are clear. In a time when the kings go to war, David decided to sit this one out. He stopped doing what he had always done. He got apathetic. He started to compromise. It led him down a dangerous path, which brought him to a lot of destruction. Moses said, as we read in Deuteronomy 8:11, but this is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees. He was challenging the people to keep walking with God in the land of plenty. God had been teaching them obedience through the wilderness journey, and they must continue to obey in the season of prosperity. If they stopped, they would lose everything that they've been striving for. I think part of this as well is allowing the Lord to keep expanding your vision. You know, sometimes when we arrive in prosperity and we see a dream realized, we lose our edge because we stop pushing forward. I've always loved how in the story of Joseph that we talked about last week, even though he was prospering in the palace and living in the fulfillment of the dream that the Lord had given him as a young man, he was still dreaming beyond his present location. He never stopped being a dreamer. He saw a day when God would take the Hebrews out of Egypt and into this promised land. And he said, I'm not going to be alive when you go there, but take my bones with you because I'm coming. He was still a dreamer. I've heard my own father say this before about his own life, that he has dreams in his life that he knows will never be fully fulfilled. He says, I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to run out of time. I look at my father as a man who has handled prosperity very well in his life. Why? Because he has consistently just kept doing the things that got him there. And he's allowed the Lord to just keep adding to his vision. Still dreaming. God is always on the move. And if we have God's heart, there will always be more vision than our lifetime allows. If you die without vision, you're doing it wrong. There will always be more in your heart than you can fulfill. One of the things that I loved about Reinhard Bonnke was that even at the height of his success, he never coasted. Even when he no longer had the strength to travel or to preach in big crusades like he did when he was younger, he got a new vision to develop training schools. And ultimately, even when he was too weak to preach out in the crusades, he preached from his own living room in front of Facebook Live. He stayed sharp, kept his focus right to the end. He was a man who won in the season of prosperity because he just kept doing what made him prosperous. My third and final point this morning, to win in the season of prosperity is to be generous with what God has given you. Sometimes it can be amazing what prosperity does to us. Our prosperity can quickly become an idol in our lives and actually take the place of God. Moses warned the Israelites in verse 19, but I assure you of this, if you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. It's amazing how often we move from worshiping the blesser to worshiping the blessing. God blesses our business, and we become consumed with it. God gives us children, and we become consumed with them. We gather property, it takes all our attention. We have ministry success, our whole identity gets wrapped up in it. When we have prosperity, the question that we must answer is, does our prosperity have us? It's very easy for a shift in who or what we worship to take place in this season of our lives. That's why Moses said, be careful. I think one of the most powerful antidotes to idolatry, one of the biggest keys to handling prosperity, is to have a generous heart. God's heart is a generous heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's interesting that one of the requirements of the Old Testament law was that the Israelites were to give the first 10% of their profits every year to the Lord as worship to him. It was part of keeping their perspective in the right place. At the heart of tithing is keeping the focus of our worship where it needs to be. We worship the giver, not the gift. In a time of prosperity, we often tend to clutch onto it too tightly. But the great irony is that in so doing so, we can let it slip through our fingers. When God is the center of our worship, we hold on to his blessing with an open hand. And amazingly, that is how we continue to experience his blessing. I think a great question to ask in a time of prosperity is this: God, why have you blessed me so much? I think there are several reasons. Sometimes God is just an awesome father. Well, he's always an awesome father. But because he's an awesome father, sometimes he just likes to bless his kids for no other reason than he loves to see them blessed. And when he does, be grateful and worship him. But I think another reason why God blesses us is so that we can be channels of his blessing to others around us. And so the question is, does prosperity stop in your hands or does it flow through your hands? I believe God wants us to be a refreshing, flowing stream of his blessing, not a stagnant pool. Proverbs 11:24 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You want to continue in a season of prosperity? Be generous. Church, however God blesses you, give it away. If it's financially, give financially. If it's with the gift of prophecy, prophesy. If it's with a great marriage, teach others. If it's with a beautiful home, be hospitable. If he's rescued you, rescue others. I could go on and on. Whatever God's done for you, be generous with it. Whatever God has given you, don't bury it in the ground. Don't keep it all for yourself. Give it away. The principle of Scripture is that to whom much is given, much is required. He who is faithful with a little will be given more. I believe that when we steward God's prosperity well, he trusts us with even more of it. That's been our story as a church. We've been generous, and God has blessed us. And we must continue to be generous and even more generous to continue to enjoy the prosperity that God has given us. Church, let's be people who win in the season of prosperity. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what made you prosperous. Be generous with what God has given you. If you do, you'll win. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Let's end. Why don't we just lift our hands and worship to the Lord? Father, I pray that we would always be a church who never loses our posture of worship. God, I pray that we would live with a healthy fear of God. Lord, I am so sobered by how Moses was so urgent in his warnings, and yet they didn't hear it. God, today I pray as a church that we would never stop kneeling before the living God. That we would never lose our posture of surrender, our posture of gratitude, our posture of worship. God, I pray that no matter how you bless us, we would never cling on to it tightly. We would hold it with an open hand. God, I pray that we would be a channel that you can bless the city through. That you can bless the nations through. That you can bless the neighborhood through. God, I pray that we would be even more generous and more generous and more generous. Oh God, I pray that we would be a giving people, that a heart of generosity would characterize this people. In fact, oh God, we would be scared to hold on to it too tightly. Oh God, may we be found faithful. May we be found good stewards of all that you've placed in our hands. God, I thank you that you've prospered us with leadership. You've prospered us with great ministries in this church. Lord, we want to give those away freely. We want to bless the LifeLinks Network. We want to bless the nations with all the gifting that's in this house. Father, I pray that we would not be a house that buries the talents and the giftings of God in the ground, but we would sow it freely. Give it away without charge. Lord, our testimony is that the more we've refreshed others, we've been refreshed ourselves. We sit here going, you have refreshed us, oh God. For 35 years, we've lived in a fountain of blessing, a fountain of refreshment. And we honor you. And we worship you. Lord, how many times did we not know what to do? And you helped us. We were dumb. And you gave us wisdom. We were stumped. And you opened a door. And Lord, we acknowledge it was all you. It's always been you. And it will always be you. And Lord, if I ever forget that,
your mom will get you.
My mom will get me, so I'll be all right. In Jesus' name, amen.